98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf react to yesterday's D-backs game. D-backs Daily. Brought to you by America Roofing. Honored to protect your family as the number one roofer in Arizona. Online at AmericaRoofingCo.com.
Diamondbacks two-game series in Texas. Mad Bum, another outing where he pitches okay. But unfortunately, when you're the ace of the staff, a little more than okay is hopeful.
His pitch and a drive to left, pretty well hit. Bravo looks up, and it's going to fly out of here. Home run for Frazier, 1-0 Rangers, his first as a member of Texas.
And that's kind of one of those things, Wolf, that's difficult because it's bottom of the fourth inning, and if you consider striking out the side when you have four batters, that's exactly what Mad Bum did.
Yeah.
He just got dinged by another solo homer in that one, and that's one of those where I think that fly ball is caught in San Francisco, but not away from San Francisco.
Yeah, not great, but good from Mad Bum right now, and we all expect him to be great.
That's true.
Here's a pitch, ground ball, base hit. Run is in, 2-0 Texas. Got it through the draw to an infield between third and short.
That was interesting. Kiner Falefa had a single, a stolen base, and then he is standing on third when Jose Trevino comes up and he gets Trevino gets a base hit and an RBI. And the reason why I consider that a huge point, Wolf, is not because in this game it was 2-0. It was because you're only in the fifth inning and the manager has already brought the infield in a 1-0 game.
Yeah.
That's a sign. Listen, that run would have scored on that ball if you have Nick Ahmed back, but Nick Ahmed gets an out instead of giving up a base hit. I'm only reading into that's where the manager looks at his offense and says, I don't think we can come back in a 2-0 game with only four innings left. So I've got to bring the infield in. That's more action speak louder than words of how Torrey thinks of his offense right now.
Well, Mad Bum threw 88 pitches after getting Gallo out and then was pulled from the game right there. It's a very significant number because his fastball average was even lower than that.
That's very true, very true. This is where you started to feel good, however. Top of the seventh inning, Carson Kelly is at the plate, and you've already got Christian Walker ruled as a single, even though it should have been an E5, and a David Peralta double on the bases.
There's a line drive center field base hit. He'll score one, the other runner to third. RBI single, the first hit of the day, first hit of the season for Carson Kelly, and it's a 2-1 ball game, Texas leading.
The Diamondbacks batting 202 overall, Basinonians. That's number 26 in the bigs.
Mm-hmm. That was the first run of the game. They waited until the seventh to get it, but then followed immediately up.
Now the Diamondbacks have the tie and a go-ahead runs on base. There's a fly ball into the left field. Coming on, Garcia. There's the catch. Here's the tag by Peralta. The throw to the plate is offline. The run scores.
Diamondbacks then tie it up 2-2. You're feeling good. Then in the top of the eighth inning, you're feeling even better because Escobar has not had a great season at the plate, and he comes through big time.
There's a shot to right center field, and that's a hit, and that's going to give the Diamondbacks a lead all the way to the wall. LoCastro sprints around third, comes in. On his way to third is Escobar. He's got an RBI triple, and the Diamondbacks lead it 3-2.
A lot of good managing right there, Wolf. Not only listening to your player and Cole Calhoun, who said he got hit by a pitch that the umpire didn't see, but then taking Calhoun out, getting LoCastro in there as a pinch runner, because I don't think Calhoun scores from first on that ball.
One of 17 runs the Diamondbacks have actually scored this season, Basinonians, and I can tell you there's only two teams that have scored fewer runs than the D-backs.
Mm-hmm. And then another run is scored on a sac fly, so it's 4-2. You're feeling great about the Arizona Diamondbacks going into the bottom of the fourth inning with a two-run lead, and Andrew Chafin happens. A leadoff walk followed by
Chafin on 2-2, and Gallo swings, hits it in a pretty deep left field. Back is Peralta, and this one's gone, and this is a tie game. Opposite field home run by Gallo.
Oh, did that hurt.
Kick to the face.
Then it simply gets worse because not only do they tie it in the bottom of the eighth.
The 1-2 from Rondon. And a line drive base hit. That'll score a couple. And the Rangers get the lead. Andrews delivers a two-run single, and it's 6-4 Texas as they've scored four here in the eighth inning.
Oh, 11 batters to the plate, 4 runs are scored, and they take the lead, and then the Diamondbacks go out 1-2-3 in the ninth.
And the 1-1 pitch, and a chopper. Goody has it, third base side throws, Rangers win it. What a comeback win for Texas.
And the Diamondbacks fall to 2-4 on the season.
Protective cup, please.
And that is your D-backs Daily.
You've been listening to D-backs Daily on the Doug and Wolf Show, brought to you by America Roofing. Honored to protect your family as the number one roofer in Arizona. Online at AmericaRoofingCo.com.
Boy, there's a lot to unpack with yesterday's loss, but most of it is emotional. Most of it is emotional, and the feeling that these guys had to have going on the plane, feeling like we got 6 outs to get, and this is the way of player in the field feels, and he'll never say it, but they feel like we didn't even get a chance to hold the lead. Because what can you do as a fielder, as a player, when a pitcher comes in with a leadoff walk and a home run? You never got to field a ball.
Yeah.
And
right?
You've already given up the lead.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks had this game right in their hands, base and onions, and the bullpen said niet. Listen, does this happen? Does it happen to every team? Yes. Mm-hmm. Does it happen to every player? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Does it happen, Andrew Chafin? Yes. But what are you going to do about it? That's what it comes down to, right? And this is what they're going to have to justify. This is what they're going to have to talk about. This is something that you can't just bury under the rug. To me,
right.
You face it. You face it as a player. All of your failures. Failures when you should have won a game. It's what I've done myself, based on it's past tense. I've done it myself. You have to face your mistakes and own up to them. Or you're never going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Never get better as a player individually, or never get better as a team collectively.
It's really amazing, Wolf, to look at fair or unfair. The Dodgers are such a juggernaut, it plays into your feeling of this 6-game road trip. That you wanted to come home 4-2 or 5-1, knowing you might have to bite a bullet in a 4-game series against the Dodgers. And then it's like, okay, now we're sitting here at about 500 or a game above 500, and we're through with the Dodgers series. Now we go forward. Here we go. Instead, if you go 3-1 in this 4-game series against the Dodgers, you and the Dodgers are both tied at 5-5. And we're going to forget all about this 6-game road trip. Okay, it's going to feel great. Yet, how many of you are willing to say the Diamondbacks are going to win 3 of their next 4 against the Dodgers?
Yeah, exactly. And you could look at it and say, you know, this might be exactly what the Diamondbacks need. This might be exactly it, Basinonians, right here. The Dodgers coming to town, and you're 2-4 on the season right now. You just blew a game you should have won. Dodgers coming. This is exactly what they need, because it's going to get their attention, and now they're going to go out, and they're going to try as hard as they possibly can. Here's the problem with that. Again, baseball is a different sport. I don't know if gripping the bat harder and going up there thinking I'm going – I don't know if that's actually good. I don't know if grabbing the ball – isn't that right, Merrill Kelly? And throwing the ball with anger and trying to I don't know if that's the way to actually go about it. So, in other words, the intensity, just because you bring more intensity to a game, I don't know if that behooves a baseball player in the game of baseball. Football, it's your best friend. Baseball, it can make you grip, literally.
For me, Wolf, here's what I'm worried about. I can only look at 2 things that are going on here with the Diamondbacks being 2-4 right now, and neither of them make me feel good. Either they came into this season unfocused or unready, that's kind of one group, or they're not nearly as good as we thought. And all of them can say, wait, Doug, it's 6 games. It's 6 games. Listen, those teams that you just lost to are not juggernauts. They're good. They're not juggernauts.
No.
If these are other teams that are okay teams and you are now 2-4 against them,
sure.
What just happened here? What are you going to do against the Dodgers? Why is it going to go better? I hope they figure it out.
One of the scariest things about it, the Texas Rangers are the worst run-producing team in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
They scored 13 runs. Think about that. They
yep.
scored 7 yesterday, ladies and gentlemen.
And all their games have been at home, too.
So all 4 games previous, they scored 6. They scored more runs in one game against the Diamondbacks than they have 4 games previous.
Coming up next, what do we expect from Isaiah Simmons this season? It's not going to be as good as what he expects from himself, and that's going to make you feel good. It's It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. There are certain people on the planet that every time they talk, I always feel like I want more. I would like more. I can't believe I'm going to say this about a young man, but I'm already starting to get that way about Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah, Isaiah Simmons is freakish in all aspects.
Yeah, yeah. I've already become a big fan, and I think a lot of you know the timeline, but in case you don't, Isaiah Simmons reports to camp last week, and that's when rookies and injured veterans report. Quarterbacks 2 days later. So he's been a part of camp for a week now, and he met with the media yesterday on a Zoom conference call, and the subject matter was kind of about, you're a rookie, you got no OTAs, you got no mini camp, you've been in the building for a week for the first time in your life, and you're trying to get all of these pro concepts down in Zoom meetings during the off season. What are your goals now? Like, what's different now? Do you lower the bar because it's just going to be too hard?
No, I'm not going to adjust my personal goals just because we're having like a little adversity with this whole pandemic. So it's either I'm going to achieve my goals or I'm not at the end of the day. So I don't feel like I should lower my expectations or my standards for myself just because, you know, there's a few obstacles in the road. So I'm still pushing to do the best I can and make the biggest and best impact that I possibly can for this organization.
That's a great answer by Isaiah right there, based on his, because can you imagine if he would have said, you know, with this pandemic going on right now, I'm going to give myself a little leeway here. I'm going to go ahead and cut myself a little bit of slack, right? I mean, listen, I understand that we've got this pandemic going on right now, and it's impacting all of us. It's going to hurt me. There's no doubt. I mean, you're basically digging. You're making excuses already, and that's not who these guys are. Mm-hmm. You can't be that guy. You can't. You don't get to be as successful as Isaiah Simmons is, and it's not like he's walked the primrose path, ladies and gentlemen, into the National Football League. He is not. All right? Clemson, I understand Clemson is one of the best programs in the country, bar none. We all understand that and get that. But where he came from, the humble beginnings in Kansas, Basinonians, it's real. And he had to overcome a lot. And Isaiah Simmons has. And I would expect him to be one of these guys that's going to come in and not look for excuses, but look for reasons as to why he's going to get better as a player.
Remember Trey Wingo. Olathe, even though there's
Olathe,
it's not a silent E. It's Olathe.
Exactly.
Even though there is an E on the end of it. And yeah, Olathe is not a hotbed. I think Darren Sproles is from there, so it's not like nobody has ever come out of there to play in the NFL. But it's not a high school hotbed.
He was a three-star guy.
Yeah, and yet, you know, wanted to go to Clemson, wanted to prove himself. And that's another thing, that when you look at a guy like that who – believed in himself so much that he didn't say, you know what, I'm going to go the small college route. And I have no problem when players do that. But he believed, I want to compete at this level,
right,
and waited it out until Clemson finally offered him the scholarship, and then immediately took it upon himself as a, you know, as a guy that's not highly rated to prove it to all the other highly rated guys and the coaches, I'm going to be the best player here. And when he said that about, I'm not going to change my goals just because of the pandemic, he was asked, well, what are your goals?
Nothing really specific. Like, I'm not going to come out here and say, I just want to be Defensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, that would be great and all, but I believe if I just come out there and play, then, you know, everything, whatever falls in place, it falls in place. But my biggest goal is just to be able to make as big of an impact as I can as a rookie for this organization.
Oh, that's brilliant. It's brilliant. You just know I was going to love that, Douglas. That is exactly what you want to do, Isaiah Simmons, right there. Just focus on the process. Be the best you can be. How many times, Basinonians, have you heard me say that over the last 14 years, 13 years, however long it is? How many times? Focus on the process of, I'm going to be the best I can possibly be at being a football player in the National Football League, and then I'll let the chips fall where they may. That is exactly the mentality that we ought to have, all of us. We ought to have, I'm just going to be the best accountant I can possibly be. And then we'll see where that takes me. I'm going to be the best truck driver I can possibly be. And then we'll see where that leads me. I'm going to be the best carpenter I can possibly be. And then we'll see if I'll own 46 units like my Uncle Don, who started as a carpenter.
That takes, when you say that, you can't just say it if you really mean it in a generic sense. So I just want to be the best I can be, and then that means whatever the results are, I'll accept it when I've just laid around. It's got to be, are you putting the time in? Are you studying carpenters better than you in order to become a better carpenter? Are you putting yourself in the best place to succeed? Or are you deciding as a Marlin it's more important to go out in Atlanta than it is to stay in the hotel?
No.
You know, what are you doing? And I would love listening to Isaiah Simmons when he says, listen, I don't have to do the things that I did in college, but that doesn't mean because I'm playing one position, I'm only going to watch one position of people to get better.
I don't specifically watch one person. I watch a lot of different defensive players just because there's always going to be small little tidbits or like techniques and things that different players do that I can incorporate in my game, because I wouldn't really call myself a traditional linebacker.
You can't play that many positions at Clemson and not be a gym rat.
Yes.
I mean, this guy has to be all over the film to be able to handle different positions. And I get so excited about high IQ guys. I don't care, and I don't mean book smart. I mean guys that spend time in their craft at getting better and not just saying, well, I'm this athletic, I'm this talented, I can just live with that. Like the Johnny Manziels of the world, who just, they get away with so much because of their athleticism, and then they're shocked when they get into the world where everybody's just as athletic as they are, and they didn't put the time in to be great off the field. And then you hear about an Isaiah Simmons talking about all the guys that he watches and what he learns and what he works on.
I take like coverage skills from DBs and then pass rush moves. I mean, I could just look at Chandler. We see how great of a pass rusher he is. So I've been watching, making sure that I really watch him a lot on film, along with Von Miller. Guys like that just get pass rush moves. And then, like I said, DBs like Jalen Ramsey, Tyrann Mathieu, also just to steal a couple things from them to also throw in my game.
Wolf, do you support that message of following Von Miller, Chandler Jones, Jalen Ramsey, and Ty Mathieu?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, go ahead and look at what they do. But all those guys right now, I can tell you, they focus on the process. They focus on the process of being the best player they can possibly be. And if that means I'm in the weight room for 15 minutes more than everybody else, if that means I'm out on the field working on my drops for 15 minutes more than everyone else, if that means I'm in better shape by a percentage point than everybody else, that's exactly what I'm going to do. It's about preparing yourself to be the best you can possibly be so you get every ounce of talent out of your body, period. And you're ready to play and you're ready to give everything that you have. That's the only thing you can control as a human being. You can't control, you can't make yourself go out there and have a great game. You can't make yourself go out there and be successful. You can prepare for it. That's all you can do. And then you go play and you let the chips fall where they may. And that's the process of being the best you can be. Focus on that and not the end result. Because if you focus on the end result, you're doomed.
Coming up next, what do we expect the end result to be for Madison Bumgarner? Should we be expecting more? Coming up next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. It's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I forgot to ask this morning, Wolf. Are you back in the Auction Community Studios, or are you still down the hall?
Oh, no, we're back in the Auction Community Studios. You better believe it. Broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen, so you don't have to.
Good. I'm sure that I'll get an email from somebody important in the company for saying this, but just to put us in our place, there are two studios for our news department. there is one studio for the sports department. And Wolf got moved to one of the news studios for the last couple of days, but they fixed everything in the auction community studios, and everything's back to normal. So that's good, because I'm completely, like, now that I'm used to studio wife, I might be thrown off anywhere else. But the times that we have had to move together into different studios, man, I struggle. It's just everything's – it's like I'm a right-handed hitter, and suddenly you're asking me to bat left-handed, and I can't do it.
No, that's exactly how it was in the Brown, right? The Brown studio. That's where we were, the Brown. Can you imagine? There's a Brown zone in the game of football, ladies and gentlemen. You know where it is? It's your 20-yard line in to your goal line. That's called the Brown zone in the National Football League. The red zone, we all know, is the opponent's 20 and in, right?
And then there's no parking in the white zone, if you didn't know.
And the brown zone, of course, is called that because you're backed up. I'm sure you understand. Next.
Yeah. That kind of stinks. So right now, Mad Bum has pitched 11 innings on the year, and he's given up 5 runs. So he's almost at a point where he's giving up a run every other inning. Not good. But he's in that range of he's putting the team in a position to win. He's doing that. But that's not really what you want from your ace. Sure. You want pitchers 3, 4, 5 to fight like crazy, put you in a position to win. You want your number two guy to look like a future ace who's not quite there. And you want your ace to be an ace. And, of course, he's going to drop a bomb every now and then. But it's not good enough to just be good enough if you're ace. Here's what's interesting about Mad Bum. I respect this guy a ton, not only just as a ball player and just as a man, but I love people that aren't afraid to be honest. And he comes out with it yesterday and actually lets us know something that's kind of concerning him, because he feels good about what everything is doing, and yet that concerns him. Because,
man, I feel good. Like that's what's been frustrating. I know the velocity's down a good bit. I've had it fluctuate throughout my career, but this is certainly a big drop right now, and that's been frustrating for me. But at the same time, I got to go out there and pitch with what I got, and honestly, haven't been able, neither one of the first two games have been super sharp, but haven't been able to tell a big difference as far as, with what I got out there right now. Everything is moving the right way and spinning good. So, we'll take that and go, but hopefully things start to pick up.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what, for the
Mad
most
respect.
Part, he, absolutely, right? I mean, this is one of the reasons why he's as great as he is. This is one of the reasons why he's an ace, to be able to speak like that, to speak so truthfully and openly, right? It shows you an awful lot about him. Listen, I agree with you. I thought he was good, not great, but good, and I've said that about both his starts now.
Yeah,
he's been good, not great, and we all expect him to be great. And I know that's not going to happen every time he takes the ball. Every time he competes, I know it's not going to happen. But my expectations for Mad Bum aren't going to change. I expect him to pitch like an ace. Listen, I played with Otis Anderson. I blocked for Hall of Famer Jerome Bettis. Google it, my young crunks. Kevin Mack was my dude. These guys were great. And everybody in the locker room expected them to be great. And when they didn't play great, it was a downer. And everybody noticed it as well, right? Now, again, they played great the vast majority of the time. But not every game. And right now, Mad Bum is good and not great.
It's really an eye-opener how brutally honest he was right there. And I don't know which way to go on the problem. Because, he says, it's frustrating because I feel good. It's frustrating because my pitchers are spinning the right way. Everything's doing what it's supposed to be doing, but I've lost, he said in the first quote, a lot of velocity. And he says, I've had velocity fluctuations in my career. Well, the reason why I don't know how to feel is either this has happened before and it's going to bounce back, and once it bounces back, it's a big deal. And if you're not hardcore baseball, it's really simple. If you have a faster fastball, it's not as simple as that means it's harder to hit. It also means there's more separation speed-wise with your other pitches. If your fastball slows down, it's easier to look for the fastball and then adjust to a different pitch because you still have plenty of time. You're on that same path of the baseball, and that's the problem for Mad Bum. And he's admitting it. So does that mean this is, and I hate to say it, I'm saying this for effect, the beginning of the end?
Yeah.
Is this because he's older and he's on a downhill slide? Or is it just simply it's early in a year that he only had 3 weeks to get ready for, and he's had fluctuations and everything will be fine? There was a follow-up from the media that said, well, how much more miles an hour should you be hoping for?
I don't know the exact numbers, but I mean, I would at least two or three, I'd hope. But if that's what we got, then I would go out there and compete with it and try to find a way.
I love the attitude. My job is to get you out no matter what I've got. But being honest, there's something going on that I don't have the velocity that I should. And now we unfortunately just have to sit back and say, boy, I hope this goes okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm not going to overreact to what he's saying right now because I don't know if he even knows. It's still so early for him right now. Listen, what I do know is this. The production of Mad Bum right now, 11 innings pitched in two starts. He's got a very, very respectable whip, right? He's given up 8 hits. 4 walks. He's got a 4.09 ERA. That's not great, as we all know, right? But listen, he gave up a 3-run double, of course, to Eric Hosmer in the San Diego loss, the Padres, right? He gave it up there. And then yesterday gave up a solo shot to Todd Frazier and an RBI single to Jose Trevino. Listen, I look at his production for the most part, and I'm not nearly as concerned as maybe some other people are. To me, he's going to get this figured out. This is something he's got to work himself through, and I believe a lot of it has to do with the short preparation time.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw this one small little tidbit out there, and this is where really smart baseball people are either going to shake their head at me or text me or tweet me that I'm clueless. And I know they will. So you should know that as a listener, a guy that wants to be a hardcore baseball guy is going to say something that hardly anybody in baseball agrees with. I wonder if the DH is messing with him.
How so?
And I don't mean going up against a DH. I mean he's lost a little juice when one of the best hitting pitchers of all time doesn't get to hit.
Mm.
When he's able to forget about maybe a pitch or two that he didn't like that he threw and go out there and rip a baseball, and getting a hit that he does every now and then gives him extra juice when he goes out there on the mound, and he's just kind of out of sorts being a regular guy that doesn't get to hit anymore and just sitting on the dugout the whole time waiting to come back out there. That might be a little bit of a reason why he just doesn't have the same juice that he did. Because he is a great hitting pitcher who takes unbelievable pride in his hitting.
That's interesting, Douglas. That really is. I wonder if, in fact, it is playing with him.
I mean, there's plenty of designated hitters who are better hitters when they're in the field. That they get that bat out of their head, they go out in the field. It takes a different mentality to be a great designated hitter. I wonder if it's the exact same thing in a reciprocal form. I guess that doesn't make sense. If you're a pitcher and you're a great hitting pitcher, that just losing that mojo and juice is something that messes with you a little bit. Coming up next, the full NFL 100 list has been revealed, and you'll never guess who the third best quarterback is. It's coming up next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The best deep boy, this is really difficult to look at. To be fair, how do you want to see it? Good morning, it's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Paul Calvisi is with us. Derek Hall going to join us, president and CEO of the Diamondbacks, in about an hour from right now. When you look at the top 100, according to the players, and granted, it's a little bit of list broadcasting, but I'm having a tough time with this. What should the top 100 be? Should it be the top 100 players from last year? Or should it be the top 100 best football players? Because if it's the top 100 players from last year, I think Lamar Jackson's got to be number one. He had the MVP season. And it's not his fault his team didn't win a Super Bowl. So, okay, he's number one. But do you think right now, going into next year, he's the best player in the NFL? If you had the first pick in the overall player draft to start a team for 2020, are you taking Lamar Jackson? I'm not. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes. So who should be number one?
Maybe the question isn't who, it's when. When do you conduct the voting? Mm-hmm. Because the voting is handed out, if I'm not mistaken, having witnessed it, the ballots are thrown out at the end of the regular season before everyone goes their separate ways. And so guys get to vote for as many as 20 players. Now, some vote for a single player, Buda Baker. Some guys vote for a lot of teammates, and there's not a lot of validity. And it's more of a popularity contest. Hey, let's vote for the prom queen. And so guys take different approaches to it. But at the end of the regular season last year, there's no doubt Lamar Jackson was the number one player based on what we had just witnessed. But by the end of the postseason, when Patrick Mahomes authors three separate come-from-behind wins from double digits, and he's your Super Bowl MVP. Patrick Mahomes, by February, was the best player on the planet.
Well, Paul, don't you think that Wolf is the type of person that nominated himself for prom king?
No, of course not.
Tried to
stop
get
it right now. You know,
and stuff the ballot box.
It's a great question to bring up, though, right? And I can tell you, as a former player right now, based on earnings, if you're voting on the Pro Bowl, it ought to be for that season. It ought to be for that season. Who was the best for that season? If you're voting on the top 100, it's who's been the best over time. It's the reason why Larry Fitzgerald is still in it. Number 69, right? It's the reason why J.J. Watt is still in it and was in it because of injury. There's a lot of guys that could have said, you know what, J.J. Watt, sorry, he's been all banged up the last couple of seasons, and because of that, he's going to drop significantly. Now he has. He's 45, I believe it is, but still, they're looking at the body of work when you talk about a player, as it should be, in my opinion.
Are they, though? Because to me, it's like a weird hybrid, because if it's about your entire body of work, then there is zero argument that Tom Brady should be the number one player in the game.
Yes.
I mean, it's not even up for discussion.
Yeah,
he's arguably the greatest to ever play in the NFL, and I'm including Lawrence Taylor. I would take Lawrence Taylor, but I still say he's in the argument for the greatest player to ever play the game. So if it's this whole year, or if it's the whole career, he's got to be number one. If it's the season of 2019, is Tom Brady even top 20? I mean, he had a good year, but he was not one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL last year. Maybe not his fault, but I think he's probably top 40, top 30. And so, but where did he end up? Wasn't it like 14 or 12? I think it was 14, 12 or 14.
Sure.
So that's some kind of weird hybrid of,
yeah, but
no, I'm not going to put him at the end, but no, I'm not going to put him number one.
You still have to post numbers. You still have to do it. And it's the reason why Chandler Jones was so confusing. You still, right? I mean, you do. You have to post numbers, and you've got to be good, and players know players. Paulie says it all the time. The reason why Lamar Jackson is number one is because as a defender, you try to tackle him.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously,
mm-hmm.
You try to tackle Lamar Jackson. He's a guy that flashes a lot more than Patrick Mahomes even.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that you look at last season and what he did throwing the ball last season. Now try to tackle Lamar Jackson. He's a true dual threat, unlike Patrick Mahomes. Now, Mahomes can run the ball, there's no doubt, but so much of the time, Buda Baker voted for one guy, Lamar Jackson. That was it. Voted him number one.
And he played against him last year in that
game. Exactly right. He knows what it's like. The respect, it's like Aaron Donald sitting there at number three. Aaron Donald doesn't have to go out and have the most sacks or the most tackles. People who play against Aaron Donald, people that actually watch film of Aaron Donald, you sit there and go, oh my goodness, he is such a freak. He is unbelievable. And that's the reason why he's number three. Russell Wilson being number two was huge cred to him, and it surprised me that he was that high.
See, let's just say, suspend all reality for a minute, that Paulie Pencilneck has a locker in the Cardinals locker room, and they give me a ballot. I'm not looking at it as one of those concocted sort of teams where you say, oh, if you're going to draft a team today, which – because you would go with young guys with plenty of upside. You'd go with the Kyler Murrays of the world and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. I'm not going with a retro all-time team either. This isn't a career achievement award. To me, the top 100 players is hit stop. This is a real-time picture. We're going to field a team right now to go play a game. Who do you want?
I agree.
Who scares you? That's what it comes down to. But again, this is something where there's a lot of players when you vote for the Pro Bowl, you didn't play against the guy. You didn't play against him that season. So, you know what? How would you know? You know, this is something where you're doing it over a period of time. Not 14 years, not 15 years, whatever it may be, but over a period of time, if you can still play. Who scares you? That's what it basically is saying. Who scares you?
You know what really surprises me, Paul, is your point that you made that I apologize so much to anybody listening that I was so uninformed, but I didn't know you're only voting for 20 guys. And I realize there's not a lot of players that are going to sit at their locker and write out 100 names. But if you're only voting for the top 20, and if it just says 1, 2, 3, you know, on your ballot, that shocks me that Kyler Murray's on the list. I mean, when I'm ranking the top 100 players, there's no doubt in my mind Kyler Murray's going to be on my list. But if I'm only ranking the top 20, I'm not putting Kyler. Larry, please don't. I would never hang up on you if you ever call me. I would never leave the phone call when you've got something important to tell me. But at the same time, I wouldn't vote for you as a top 20 player right now in the NFL. So it's kind of surprising to me to think about the guys on the back end of the top 100 means there are players that are saying that guy's a top 20 player.
I can only imagine the variety of responses you get on the ballots.
Yeah.
When guys like Buda Baker are voting for one player, there have been other ballots that have made it onto social media. I think it was Tampa. There was a Tampa player a while back, and his ballot was revealed, or he posted a picture of it, and 9 of the 20 players were his teammates.
Oh, no.
And Mike Evans was number 3.
Yeah.
And so you get all this random variety of data and votes, and I wonder if when they're compiling all these stats or all the votes – do they adjust accordingly? Is it like one of these polls they conduct, these Gallup polls, where we have to extrapolate and project? Do they take certain numbers and then – you have to. Otherwise, you would just get so many anomalies in the final 100. Or maybe that's how you explain how a Fred Warner ends up number 70 overall, a virtual no-name guy, and why a J.J. Watt – with all his leg videos that he posts on Instagram, is still 45.
Does it not surprise you that Russell Wilson is rated higher than Patrick Mahomes?
It does.
I mean, I think you could sit there and you could argue the Lamar Jackson, of course, and Pat Mahomes. I think you could do that, right? But Russell Wilson, why is that? Why is he there at number 2?
I honestly believe it's a ton of players that are saying, I don't think Seattle's good as an entire team. And yet they're always a playoff team. That's Russell Wilson.
I'll tell you why. Because he scares people. He still can tuck the ball and run and embarrass you if you're not ready to play. He still does that. That's the difference between Russell Wilson and Pat Mahomes. Does Pat Mahomes pull the ball down and run? And is he a decent athlete? Yes, he is. Is Russell Wilson better than Patrick Mahomes in terms of running the ball? Not even close. And this is the reason why, to me, Kyler Murray, if he improves in pulling the ball down and running and extending plays with his arm, he's a mix between Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes. He's right in the middle. This could be Kyler Murray. Expect him to shoot up the NFL top 100 in the coming years.
Coming up next, what went wrong for the D-backs yesterday? That's next in the Rush Hour Reboot on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.